If you have your Bibles, open up to Acts chapter 2 today. Acts chapter 2. The only other announcement is, again, ladies, one more time, on your way out, make sure when you see those teenagers, don't be afraid of them. They have a free drink certificate that you're going to want. If you've never been to Zeb's Coffee House yet, you're going to want to take the girls. It's a good time. Or the guys, too. Mike boys like going in there. They got the best hot chocolate in the world, we're told. And now that it's getting warmer, they've got some cool iced teas and different things like that. But for you ladies, you get a free one on us. All right. Public service announcement over. Now I get to share what I live to share. Get your Bibles there, Acts chapter 2. Margin in life, we talk about margin a lot at The Refuge because it's the one thing that we see missing in our world today. Margin is this missing piece because everybody gets so busy and our schedules get so full that sometimes we forget to stop and reflect on who we are, where we are, what's next, and why in the world we are doing what we continue to do. That's why it's with intentionality that our communion service is the way it is. We, on purpose, don't want to rush that part of the service. Because I feel that for some of you, this is the one time a week that you get to come and just lay all of the other voices aside and listen to a voice and even give back to that voice a little bit of appreciation and praise because we get so bombarded with life, don't we? And so this kind of thing, this spiritual formation, this soul care that we need is very important. And now more than ever, we've found ways to increase the number of voices that we allow to speak into our lives. Our faces, even when we drive, I mean, every driver I pass, this is how they drive. Right? I mean, this is a weird deal. I see it all the time. I know you see it too. We are fixed with our faces in the phone. And when people walk down the street, it's often with earbuds in their ears, right? We've lost the art even of what it is to listen to the wind blow or the breeze or the birds singing. We've got to have another voice speaking into us. When we're home, there's less time to think because Alexa is playing our playlist while our children's Netflix movies play in the background, right? Our notifications on the phones are taking us away from meaningful conversations with our spouses and with our children. Add to that an increased pressure to put our kids into more and more organized activities. Why do I add organized in that? Because gone are the days when youth would just show up at a ball field and organize a game on their own. Now they have to have a coach and a referee in order to make it happen. And so we don't even teach them how to figure out what a foul is or what the rules of the game are because we just blow the whistle or tell them that something went wrong and half the time they don't even know. Even so, if we're going to stay caught up with the Joneses, we feel the pressure to keep up so much that it feels like our childhoods are disappearing rapidly. Before going further in our lesson today, I want to acknowledge moms. Again, we love our ladies at The Refuge, and I told you about the gift we have for you. Those of you women who are moms, though, if the distractions weren't enough in your world, when you try to get the attention of your spouse and kids, the only thing that's good about it anymore is, as a pastor, this is the only good thing about it, is I feel like your prayer lives have been increased. What do I mean by that? Timmy, please wash your hands and come to the table. Dinner is ready. Timmy, please wash your hands and come to the table. The dinner is ready. Again and again, right? For crying out loud, Timmy, give me that iPad. I'm putting the iPad in timeout, and you're lucky I just won't throw it in the trash. You're this close to an eternal timeout. Didn't you hear me tell you 78 times to get to the dinner table? Did that story play in your house at all? Yeah. Right? And moms, I appreciate that your prayer life gets increased, but with all of the other noises, even that we're teaching our children in the world that we live in, and I know that there's tension because I'm not saying that it's bad or wrong or good or anything. I'm just saying that we at least need to be in control of what is this case. And I just had to acknowledge mothers today to know that, woo! It gets steep sometimes to do your job. The problem, though, The problem is not with the message being communicated, is it, moms? It's with the ability to hear the message. Sometimes it's not that we haven't communicated the message, it's that the message has not been received even by the hearers. Today, as we continue to look at the birth of the first church, after Jesus rose from the dead, he commanded his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for him to lead. While they were waiting, they were praying, and they were together, and they were united. And today we are going to see their wait come to an end. And we are going to notice that when the Spirit shows up, the church gets activated. When the Spirit shows up, the church is activated. We're going to see that in this text. And so let's go ahead and turn there to Acts chapter 2 and see how the church gets activated. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13 is what we're going to study today. I'm just going to read it all and then we'll dive right through it. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, Pentecost literally means the 50th day. The 50th day of what? The 50th day after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. They saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and rested on each one of them. Then they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were Jews staying in Jerusalem, devout people from every nation under heaven. When the sound occurred, a crowd came together and was confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. That's a big statement there. They were astounded and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us can hear them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those who live in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the magnificent acts of God in our own tongues." They were all astounded and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But some sneered and said, "They're drunk on new wine." It is what it is, right? Let's dive into that. The church is activated. I hope you caught it in verse 4. The church is activated as the Spirit enables. Notice when the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place, verse 1 tells us, Acts chapter 2. Again, on this 50th day after the resurrection of Jesus, the disciples didn't know it would be this day. Remember, they were told back in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that they were just to wait, and when it came, when it happened, they would be his witnesses. They would have to speak. They had to be ready. But now they understand, okay, this is our time. It's time to declare what Christ has done. And so they begin to speak. Now, let's be honest, there is temptation to take credit for the Spirit's work in our lives. Some musicians work hard for it. Some hear it and can make it happen. That blows me away. You ever met those people? They can just listen to a song and then they can just like play the song. I'm like, I got to have the music. How do you play that? I got to see how it goes. Artists can grow their gifts for sure, but the ability to draw a straight line. Have you ever seen those artists that can draw a straight line? Like, I've tried it. I need a ruler. Any other ruler people out there? I mean, I need a ruler in my life. I cannot draw a straight line. It is a gift from God for those of you that can just make a picture look pretty freehand style without, like, you know, all of the extra tricks. On the day of Pentecost, God did something out of the ordinary to start his first church. I've never experienced such a phenomenon as what I read in Acts chapter 2, but I have seen people use the gifts that the Spirit of God has enabled them with, and I've seen some take credit when it should have been given to God. Let's talk about this for a minute. Some of you have talents and abilities that set you apart. Some of you can lead in ways that others can't lead. Some of you can teach. Just your ability to communicate and disseminate information so that people can understand it. I want to tell you, the greatest compliment that an educator can get is when somebody says, "I understood that lesson." when they can replicate that lesson, when they can do what you taught them to do. And some people have that ability. Other people, you feel like, man, you said a lot and I don't understand what you said. I hope that's not me. You can work a room, some of you. You can work a room. You can host a party. Others of you, you can comfort hurting people like no others. For others, God has gifted you with an ability to be a great counselor and to give advice and encouragement to people. You easily read people. You can cut through the chaff to decipher right and wrong. Others of you, you are good with numbers, and everybody that isn't good with numbers says amen for those that are good with numbers. Some of you are an artist in one of the areas under the umbrella of what is art. You can create an environment, some of you, that everyone wants to be a part of. Whatever it is that God has gifted us with, you just have a keen ability to fix broken things with an understanding of how things work. We could go on and on. Some of you have these talents and more. But the question we have to ask ourselves is this: are you using that ability to advance the kingdom and the cause of the Spirit of God who gave you the ability? In verse 4 of Acts chapter 2, we are reminded that these guys spoke, and it was a perplexing, awesome moment. But the reason that they were able to do it was because the Spirit of God enabled them to do it. And the Spirit of God enables every one of us to do something as we read throughout the Scriptures. We all have a role to play in the body. The question is whether we can sing well enough to get an invitation from the kings of this earth or not. The question is, will the real value come when we use that gift to sing to the King who gave us the talent to begin with? Are we using that ability to advance the kingdom and the cause of the Spirit who's given us these abilities? Sure, some of you can bake a dish that makes the raised royal. That's a local thing, right? Locals love you, but you have given some of it away to the poor. But have you given it away to the poor among you so that you can hear Jesus say, as he said in Matthew 25:40, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. The church cannot activate itself, but when the Holy Spirit fills us up, we cannot waste it. Look at verse 4 once again so we don't miss it. Verse 4 says this: then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them. As the Spirit enabled them. Have we opened the box to enable the Spirit, to give Him permission to fill and to use us and be part of His kingdom and part of the church? The church is also activated, as that story goes, when the gospel is communicated. The church is always activated when the gospel is communicated, because God's word does not come back void, as we read in the book of Isaiah. Man, this week alone, news of flooding, another fatal school shooting, story after story of people killing each other. The most devastating things to me, though, is that there's an answer to the problem. But the church has been wooed to sleep thinking that we cannot share our faith, this message of hope and love and peace and freedom because of Jesus. It's a message of coming together and exposing sin, a message of repentance and reinstating God as King, something that our nation needs more and more. And when the Holy Spirit does show up and activate the church, it becomes bold in its delivery of this message, because this message is not about us and about our accomplishments. It always goes back to Him and His accomplishments. Notice a lot of times people study this passage and they want to make much of the messengers. There's a lot of people, they read this and they go, wow, weren't those guys awesome? Weren't those messengers great? These guys could speak in all the languages. But don't forget the real messenger, and this was the Spirit. No messenger, though, is as important as the message that he or she has to share. The message wasn't, check out our new shiny program. Look, we're the new church in town. Come check out the church. The message is never about the church. It's always about the head of the church, about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Look at verse 6, and then we're going to look at verse 11 again. In verse 6, we read, "When this sound occurred, a crowd came together and was confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language." And verse 11, "Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the magnificent acts of God in our own tongues." The message, first of all, was understood, and that was confusing. Isn't that a great statement? It was confusing that they understood the message, but what was confusing? The message wasn't confusing. The confusing thing was Galileans, especially Galileans that grew up on the water as fishermen. Galileans that were tax collectors, right? We know the former vocations of these guys. These Galileans were blue-collar boys that were not well-educated men, we read of even in the next couple of chapters of this letter of Acts. These poor-speaking Galileans are all of a sudden speaking a message of clarity and boldness that I can hear. You hear that? That I can hear and that I can understand, and that can be confusing. But when the church speaks boldly this simple message about what Jesus accomplished, the church is activated and people respond. And people are looking for this. They're hungry. They're tired of hearing the bad, and they want it to be some difficult deal sometimes so it could be about them when they were able to do parkour and complete the course, right? But when we find that all we got to do is fall on our face at the feet of Jesus Christ and say, "I accept your gift," that doesn't seem hard enough, and it seems weird that it's that easy to understand because anybody can declare this message. And the church gets activated. And as all they were doing, verse 11 again, were reminding us that the message conveyed was about the magnificent acts of God. It was about the magnificent acts of God. You want to be a good messenger? Make that your message. Sure, it's cool if we get to be a part of doing some neat things. But none of the neat things that we can do come close to matching what Jesus did when he died on that cross for our sins and when he defeated the final enemy of death. Too often our message is to promote self or to promote a brand, and we forget to share the greatest message of all. From creation to restoration, through the cross and empty tomb, the acts of God are what transform lives. We can share all kinds of things on social media and with people in our lives, but the greatest thing to share is the message of God's eternal love and his promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The church is activated when the gospel is communicated. The last thing we'll look at today is that the church is activated in spite of opposition. And most often where there's opposition, the church will flourish. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 13 again, because this is kind of the connecting piece into what we'll study next week. But it says that some sneered and said, "They're drunk on new wine." This is big, friends. This is big. We're going to understand why this is big. See, Jesus was opposed again and again in his ministry. Some of you, you feel like you're opposed in life, and opposition does not feel good. But it should not be a reason to stop, especially when it comes to our faith and sharing our faith. Friends, if you share, if you're willing to communicate the message of God, you will be accused of being weird. You're even going to be accused of acting drunk when we follow Christ and when we let his Spirit lead us. You're going to be accused of being unpopular or uncool at times. You might not even get invited to that party anymore, even though there's nothing that goes on at the party that you wouldn't be willing to participate in to a point. Always remember, though, that those opposing us today, This is big. Those opposing us today still need the hope that we have to share. So don't respond to them in hate or judgment. Respond in love and kindness. That's what Jesus did. It fascinates me when Christians commend something that God commends in scriptures and get condemned for it as though we're the judgmental ones. As all I did is commend what God commended. But even then, those that are accusing us of being judgmental, we cannot lose sight of the fact that those accusers, wanting a doctrine founded on culture rather than scriptures, need the security of building their lives on Jesus Christ. So how we respond is very critical. Jesus taught us to turn the other cheek, to absorb the criticism, deflecting it to Him. He died for the opponent as well as for the believer, and He alone will judge both in the end. So let's not misunderstand our role. We are disseminators of grace. We are not judgers of the lost. When we face opposition, remember, our role is to communicate the message and love lost people. It's Jesus' job to save or to judge the unbeliever who dies apart from Christ. See, God has been communicating since the beginning of creation, trying to get our attention. In spite of all of the voices in our heads, let's listen before we get too distracted to hear His voice. Let me back up. Some sneered and were saying these men are drunk. The heartbreak that I have for these guys is I know that the message was being communicated in their language. But because of the confusion of the Galilean speaking, they didn't hear it. The message was communicated in an understanding way. They refused to listen. And that's what we have to resist. So let's listen to God before we get too distracted to hear His voice and otherwise make Him show up in some frightening way. Because it'd be weird if I saw a bunch of fires on people's heads talking to me to get my attention. It'd also be weird if He had to send a hailstorm on my town, or if He looked at clean like Sodom and Gomorrah. It'd be weird if He just split open the earth underneath me like what He did for Achan because of his sin when his family was swallowed up in the wilderness. I wouldn't like it if He had to send a plague on us like He had to on the people in the wilderness because they didn't believe Him and because they grumbled at Him so that several just died and Moses had to stand up and say, God, that's enough. And God relented. Lest we have to wait for God to show up in a way like that. God doesn't want to show up that way. He's not this mean, awful God that doesn't care about us, but He is a God that expects His bride to be pure. As sometimes we are guilty of robbing our own mothers of their sanity by not listening to them and making them a little crazy. And some of you moms, a lot of crazy. Rest assured, we love you, Mom. Lest we even do that to them, let's not do that to God. And even so, I'll close with this. As much as Mom loves us, God loves us more. And He wants us to be able to hear His good news. It might take a focus, especially in this day and age, and a resolve to stop opposing Him long enough to hear His voice. But it will be clear, and we can understand it. The bottom line today is this: listen for God's voice and respond to it. For some of us, though, that's going to mean that we've got to open up God's Word. We've got to let God speak into our lives. We've got to make sure that if our earbuds are going in, at least one of those messages a week is going to be a message that we downloaded from that minister, that devotional that we want to continue to follow, that's going to be speaking God's Word and God's ways into our lives. Listen for God's voice and respond to it. The apostles, they waited. And when God sent His Spirit and activated the church, they responded. Will we do the same this week and every week of our lives as we make much of Jesus? Will you pray with me? And we've got time. Band, do you have a song prepared? And so the band will come as I pray. And let's go ahead and just stand together. Let's be the church. Thank you, moms. Make sure you get that gift on your way out today. God in heaven, thank you. Thank you for sharing your message with us, for revealing your word to us, not just once, not just to one person, but again and again. God, you are faithful, your love endures forever, and your love for us sometimes seems confusing because it's so clear. We're used to having to deserve and to earn love, and you remind us that you love us when we're at our worst. And God, I pray that if there's anyone here that needs to respond and make a decision of faith, maybe they have heard the message, but they've never said, I want to make Jesus my Savior and Lord. Just give them the boldness to talk to whoever invited them today or to me on their way out so we can have those conversations of what it is to accept you as Savior and Lord. Maybe for others, that this is a coming back to you, for the marriage that's in trouble, for the families that are empty in their nest, to have a little anxiety of what it means to see the kids grow up and move out, for those that are in between jobs and those that are celebrating the newness of a new job, those that are thinking about moving from the community and those that are just moving in. With all of the distractions in our life, let us hear you and give you glory. In Jesus we pray.